Let's pretend we are. What are you oofing about over there?
I just couldn't hear Kipper's microphone.
Now we got him. I hear him. You sound great.
I don't know if I have you.
No, I don't think it's done. I don't think anything's working. Is anything working?
Yeah, I think it's working.
Sammy, you're the producer. Am I on or am I not on?
Okay, there. It sounds like you're on now. Yeah.
This could be the earliest we've ever driven it into a ditch on a Friday off the rails.
Is it October, late October here?
So
we're in playoff shows.
I don't know if my earpiece was malfunctioning or our fill-in technical director, Andrew Adams, was burying us, but I think it might have been me. So I will.
I think.
You're going to take the hit?
I'll take the hit.
You should take the
hit. I'm like Connor McDavid doing the beer run, boys. I'll be the leader here. It was my fault.
So we
it was
will
my
not
fault.
Bury double A.
I don't know. He just threw him under the bus. That's a passive bus throw right there.
Andrew Adams, do not go anywhere for the next hour. We still need you. Absolutely. In for Derek Brandeo. David Sisboobaugh is in the house. I'm Nick Kyprios. He's Justin Bourne. He's Sammy McKee, and we are live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, 360, Sportsnet Plus. Take your pick.
Yeah.
We are here for the next hour. Doug McLean will join us in a few minutes. Of course, the first coach in Florida Panther history to stand behind a bench during a Stanley Cup final. We'll get his thoughts on Florida plans on flying him in.
Presumably.
Putting him up in a penthouse. Mm-hmm. You know.
Right beside Kodak Black.
Like he's now a legend now.
Quick question. Why do we never have the same people working on our show? Are we a bad team here? Are we team A and team B is not being included enough?
I don't know where Derek is today. But I know for a fact that we have Jen Rolnick, who works before our show.
Okay.
And she passes it off to Jake the Snake Schultz from Monday till Thursday.
Okay.
And then on Fridays, David Sisboobaugh takes over and does this when he's not producing the Jeff Merrick show. But maybe he does both. So he does everything.
All right.
So that's our team.
Or it could just be them all upstairs going, it's almost the middle of June. What the hell are we doing a hockey show for? Well, like, come on, knock it off.
Can we talk about the Blue Jays?
As we all sit here with our sunburns from golfing so much.
And I got a steward.
And we're lucky we have people upstairs right now. If it was Dallas in Florida right now, we'd have nobody up there. I'd have to race up and down the stairs
to
push buttons.
And my 7-year-old be pushing buttons up there,
so
brushing the tumbleweeds away.
With such a week off, can you imagine now? Us trying to push a Dallas Florida final.
Listen, we might have to next year. Let's not pretend it's going to be awful. That would be great, Kip. Two dynamic teams.
Now, I will say, for our Canadian audience at least, there's no word big enough to describe how important it is that it's the Edmonton Oilers in the Stanley Cup final
Connor,
as opposed to the Dallas Stars.
David, yes. Leon Draisaitl, Evan Bouchard.
But, thank God.
You asked an interesting question, though, about, like, because I talk about our Canadian audience. Does Connor matter to the American audience? And that's one that I'm interested in.
Well, again, you're hoping that you're reaching new viewers that will tune in the U.S. for a Stanley Cup final. And although many of them may not even know where Edmonton is, I hope by the end of the final, they'll certainly know who our best player on the planet is.
If the NHL, if Americans don't know who Connor McDavid is, we are failing in marketing our game.
But they don't.
But Kip, you and I know who Joey Chestnut is. Like, that's, you know, some obscure American whatever. Like, surely they know Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Come on.
No.
I would be really interested, though. Like, you know, in traditional hockey markets, you're going to know who he is. But I'm sure if you go to, like, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and you're like, hey, he's like, oh, that guy the punter for the Crimson Tide?
Somehow, some way, Wayne Gretzky was marketed much better in the U.S. as an Edmonton Oiler than Connor McDavid has up until this point.
I'd say the divide in how we market teams and players has gotten more nationalistic. Like, you know, like Sportsnet, we work to push Canadian teams more probably than we used to. And the American team seemed to push the American players. Connor Bedard now is going to get more push than Connor McDavid based on where he plays.
Is that a good thing?
No.
No. I think it's good that Connor Bedard will get pushed.
The thing is, here in Canada, we're going to know that.
Yes.
Because we cover the league, so we're going to cover the best players.
But this Stanley Cup final has a chance now to take Connor McDavid to a complete another level in the U.S. Like,
how about
like,
this stat?
I would think he'd have a much better chance after this Stanley Cup final of hosting Saturday Night Live than he would prior to it.
He couldn't host a podcast.
Did you watch Wayne Gretzky host that?
Yes, I did. He also couldn't host a podcast.
If Wayne could do it, Connor could do
it. Good point.
You can do a skit on him taking beer to a trunk.
They might. Connor McDavid joins Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux as the only players in NHL history to average at least 1.5 career points per game in both the regular season and playoffs. There's no better stat offensively than that.
So let me ask you, if he does not
win the cup,
average 1.5 in this series, I don't know, 1.25, maybe even 1, can Edmonton win?
Oh, I like that question.
Does he need to hit that mark?
He needs, a point per game is bare minimum to have a chance. Bare minimum, but probably needs more like 1.5. And I think Oilers fans would agree with that.
Even with 1.5, I think it's going to be tough, boys.
Tough series.
All right, let's bring him in. It's Friday. It's off the rails. It's Doug McClain.
Oh, my goodness.
You're shadowy.
SPF 60 or what?
We've got you on our Zoom call, and you're like right in, like what? The middle of the sun?
Well, I just a minute here. I'll put the blinds down. Is it a little too bright?
Well, it's fine for us. You seem like you're staring into the surface of it. There you go.
That's better.
That's better. Way better.
I'm trying to look like Bob McCowan.
Oh, my goodness. So, listen, what's your week like? The demand for you in the state of Florida must be huge right now as the first coach to have ever coached the Panthers
to
a Stanley Cup
brand.
Final.
Yeah, it's been big. I had to do a 20-second video today wishing the Panthers good luck. So I'm a little bit like Luke Gadzig. I'm hoping I'm not going to get a backlash from the Edmonton fans because I wish them good luck. But I may have to have Elliot come on and say, he coached there and, we got to be easy on him. So I may need Elliot for crowd control,
So Mac, have you had any sort of ties with are you going to go back? You brought a team there.
Yeah, are you taking a bag of rats to the game?
You know what? I haven't been to a game. I went to a Panther reunion there, and remember I had criticized the Panthers on Hockey Central at noon about some signings they did, and their new owner, their minority owner there, went after me, sort of gave me shot. So I went to a reunion there a number of years ago, and he come up to me and said, "Oh, I see you're here for a free meal." I said to him, "Well, the last time I looked, you're a 5% owner, so I'm not eating much of your food." So since then, it deteriorated a little. But anyway, I had a call.
Is he still there?
They shipped him back to New York. They got him out of there. I didn't get to a game this year, but it's fun. As I said on the little video I said, it's so great to see the rats flying in South Florida this time of year, it's really big. The fan base there have been so loyal. Games I've gone to, it's shocking to me how many fans are still there after all these years that are great supporters of the Panthers. So this is, to get to the finals 2 years in a row is just an amazing accomplishment. And I'll tell you what, they're a good-looking team right now. They really are a good-looking team.
So we were just talking about Connor McDavid and historically being up there with Wayne Gretzky and Lemieux for producing in the playoffs, Mac. And how much does he have to carry this series? Can they find a way if he doesn't hit that 1.5 career point per game pace he's been on?
Look, it's not easy to play against this team at playoff time, especially when he's got to face Barkov and whoever they match, whether it's Forsland, Ekblad, whoever they match with him on the back end. It's going to be a tougher matchup for him. But look, when I watched that first period against Dallas the other night and watched the display he put on, to put them up 2-0 after the first period, I don't know if I've seen a star like Connor come out and have such an amazing first period to lead his team, you know, in a big game. I mean, he's going to be so – look, you can contain him maybe 5-on-5, but how do you ever contain this guy on the power play? You know, the way he freelances, the way he beats people 1-on-1, just the mobility and the skating skills. The Panthers have got to be careful. They can't take power plays against this team. And then, you know, the penalty killing of the Oil has been so good. So I'm excited. I think it's going to be a heck of a series. I really do. And Connor and Draisaitl, I mean, they're going to have to lead. There's no denying that.
So, Doug, with all this time to prepare for the Cup final, you know, there's a lot of pre-scouting you can do. How much information can players or should players be presented with? Or at some point it gets to be overload. I think different teams feel differently about the amount of info to get to these guys.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what really, this still grates on my nerves after, you know, and I've told Kippy about this. We won the Eastern Conference in 7 games against Pittsburgh on the road in Pittsburgh. And we won the game in 7 to clinch to go to the Stanley Cup final. The NHL put us on a plane that night and flew from Pittsburgh to Colorado to play game 1 2 days later.
Wow.
And I've never forgotten that. Like, we didn't get a chance to go back to Florida and, you know, take a bit of a break. I mean, it was a tough, hard-nosed series, and then to fly to Colorado and play right away. And then I look at these guys getting a week off. Like, seriously. And you know, I was saying this to Jill the other night, and you know what she said to me? Let it go. It's been a long time. Can we just
move?
Can
on.
We just let it go? And me whining about having to get on a plane and fly to play in the finals, you know? And I said, Jill, the altitude difference and all those elements, it was
That's
really
real,
tough.
Though.
And she said, Doug, let it go. We're done with hockey, aren't we? Aren't we? I said, no, I gotta do Kipper's show and Bourne's show, you know. So I can't let it go.
So when that happened, did she slash you in the thumb or what? What happened to this bandage you're waving in the screen at us? What did you do to yourself?
Put your thumb up.
It's the pickleball injury I had. Remember I had the black nail? Well, now the nail is falling off. So every time I put my hand in the pocket, it pulls a nail. So I have to bandage it. So
it looks good.
That's where I am.
Yeah, it looks great.
Is this a day-to-day thing, or can we expect you to be out for weeks?
No, it's day-to-day. I haven't played a lot of pickleball lately. It doesn't affect my golf swing. I'm okay there. But, you know, it's an injury. There's no denying that.
So with those, just to follow up on Justin's point there, with just 2 days off to now face the Colorado Avalanche, what could you have possibly told them or prepared for against them going into game 1?
Watch out for Joe Sakic.
Well, let me tell you this, what happened. So we go on the ice for warm-up in game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals, okay? And after the warm-up, I walk into the room, and John Van Beesbrouck is in there. They made John Van Beesbrouck leave the pregame or the warm-up for game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals. They made him leave the ice and change his stick because he had a little piece of red tape on the top of his knob. And the NHL supervisor saw this red tape on his knob and made him go in and change his stick. And I walk in, and Beezer, who got us where we were, is a basket case because they're making him change his stick in the warm-up.
The league...
Like, seriously.
The league...
What are they thinking about?
The league wouldn't have picked up on that. It would have been somebody in Colorado that was complaining to the league.
Yeah, because of a little piece of red tape. Because in case the puck was on the goal line, that red tape might have interfered with the, you know, dissecting whether the puck was in or not.
At least the league didn't want the Panthers to win. It was rigged.
That's why you lost.
Oh, well, as Jill said, let it go. You guys have got to say the same thing. Just let it go, Doug. But, you know.
Mac, anyway. Is there a chance that Florida just runs Edmonton out of a building here? I mean, they were out hit against Vancouver, Edmonton, but that didn't stop them from winning a series. How much of a factor will this be?
Oh, look, I can't recall a team that plays as hard as Florida play. And that's been since game one, boys. I mean, I watched them a lot this year. They have played hard every night. With their forechecking is unbelievable. But you know what? I will say right now, there is no way they will physically run Edmonton out of the building. Mm-hmm. There's no chance they will, in my opinion. And look, they dominated the Rangers. They dominated Tampa. And they dominated them physically. But I don't think they'll physically run Edmonton out. I really don't. I think it's going to be power play, penalty killing. But my biggest issue is, you know, can Skinner match Bobrovsky?
Right.
That's the only thing.
Does he have to?
I think Edmonton's yes. power play is going to be good. I think their penalty yep. killing is going to be good. I think they've got enough grit right now, the Oilers. I don't think they'll get run out. I hope Skinner can play as well as he played in the last three games of that series against Dallas.
Do you think if he's
just a tad underneath, not saying that he has to be toe-to-toe with him, but mm-hmm. if he can just stay within a certain range.
Yeah, I think that's a great point that if he's as good as Bob, they're probably, you give him maybe their favorites, 51% chance.
It changes
if
the whole
he
thing.
Is. And my problem is Bob is playing out of his mind right now, guys.
Yeah.
This guy is playing great goaltending. I mean, in every series, he's made saves and he looks so focused. It's a chance for him to finally get over the hump and win. I just think it's going to be, I think goaltending is going to be the number one issue in this series. I really do.
What about refereeing, Doug? Don't you think a lot of it's in the ref's hands? Like, if they're going to call a lot of penalties, Florida's got to back off the physicality. Oilers get to go on the power play.
Well, I hope that's the case, you know, because they take penalties. There's no denying they take penalties. But, I mean, they're penalty killing and their power play. The Panthers both have been both have been good. So, yeah, the Oil have got to outnumber them on power plays for sure. Their penalty killing has to stay as good, and their blue line has got to play as well as they did in the last three games mm-hmm. of that series. We saw Nurse bounce back. That's really important that he continues to play the way he did in the last few games. But it's got the makings of a tremendous series. But I think it's going to be a war. I really do, and I think. Kenny Holland, we've always talked about the lack of depth on Edmonton. Well, the lack of depth came through for them in that series against Dallas, boys. It was a difference maker for them, the way their bottom six came in and played, whether it was Corey Perry or McLeod or, you know, the different guys that they've used there. We'll see.
Just before you came on air, we were talking about maybe a great stage now for the first time for a player like Connor McDavid in the States, but like could a guy like Paul Maurice end up with a talk show after the Stanley Cup final? Could he knock Fallon out?
I'm hoping Maurice wins and he retires and he takes over this spot on this show.
Me too. I also hope that happens.
He's the only one out there that I think could hold his own on Off the Rails Friday.
I you know what? We'll see. When he retires, if he's as funny as he is right now, and we'll see if he gets behind in a series if he's as funny.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good point.
That's really the test.
Yeah, how is your lighthearted post-game humor when you're down 3-1?
Yeah, I found it's tough to be lighthearted when you're losing. I just found that wasn't the way it was. So we'll see. He's been good, but look, he's got them playing hard, and I think the leadership on that team from Tkachuk to Reinhardt, I mean, Ekblad, they've all been, Barkov, to me, I remember talking to a guy saying Barkov will never be successful in the playoffs unless he picks up his pace of game. You know, and it's taken him a couple of years to get there. In the last 2 years, Barkov, to me, has gone to another level, not only shutting down some of the greatest players, like look what he did against the Rangers. Look what he did against Carolina. Look what he's doing, against the teams they've played. Look what he's done. So can he handle McDavid? No, you can't handle McDavid. You can't really handle Draisaitl. But he's going to be a challenge for both of them, how good he is as an all-around player.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, put him in anywhere from Ottawa to Vancouver, and the attention that this guy would get up here in Canada, I think, would be
totally changed,
off the charts.
So, Doug, with this, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying the difference in this series is it's one thing to shut Panarin down in the playoffs, and it's one thing to shut Sabanajad down and Kreider down. This to me is going to be a different challenge when Hyman's game is where it is, and you know, Dreisaitl's game's where it is, and it'll be tougher to shut those guys down. And again, it may be a power play series too.
So Mac, this final game of the series, if it went seven, would be June 24th, but also the draft is then what, the 27th, 28th, and then free agency is 2 days after that. Do you have any sympathy for these front offices that are in the Stanley Cup final, but also got to be planning for days later?
As Jill says, get over it. You're in the Stanley Cup finals. Seriously. You know the feeling? I'll never forget the feeling skating on the ice. And Nick's lived this. Skating on the morning skate, knowing that you're coaching in the Stanley Cup finals. It's just an unbelievable, you know, for a nobody from PEI. And for me, it was a thrill of a lifetime to even be on the bench and there. And, you know, so, yeah, they could care less about free agency right now. They could care less about the draft. They're focused right now on, and Bill Zito, I mean, he's got three draft picks on this hockey team. You know, we talk about you need 10 draft picks to win a Stanley Cup. They've got three. But what they've got, as I mentioned to Nick earlier, they've got about four guys that were picked in the top four on their team in Barkov, Reinhardt, Ekblad. I mean, you know, it's a pretty amazing talented group there. To Tkachuk.
I think there's amazing. 19 first-round picks in the Stanley Cup final this year.
So the key is when I look at the Panthers with Tkachuk and Bennett and the number of first picks that are high, maybe the lesson is don't trade your first-round picks. Maybe that's the lesson.
Interesting.
Especially
theory.
When they're picked that high, you know?
Your Stanley Cup final in Florida, do you remember remotely being as charming or charismatic as Paul Maurice? Like, did you go through a feeling that week that, you know, what I'm saying sounds a little more important than it would, say, in November?
Well, I had the experience of also being the All-Star coach both my last 2 years in Florida, so I got to do a little...
So much success all at once.
I could joke around. I was more jokeable during the All-Star weekend than I was during the Stanley Cup Finals. I'll never forget the last game we lost 1-0 in triple overtime. And Beezer and Patrick Waugh, there was 70-plus shots against Patrick Waugh and 70-some shots against Beezer. We lost 1-0 with a goal in triple overtime. And I'll never forget going off after each overtime about how hungry I was. So they had to bring me in chicken wings because I was starving.
Chicken wings. You're eating rats.
Barbecue rat.
Anyway. Yeah. Does it change like off the ice, the media demands and everything? Would that be a factor for these players and coaches to have to deal with?
My biggest aggravation was in the Stanley Cup Finals was Mr. Hockey Night in Canada, John Shannon, wanting me to do all these goofy things like sending a camera crew to PEI and having people walk around with face masks on. Hi, I'm Doug McLean. Like, Shanny took it to a whole nother level, you know, and Shanny has told me many times since that I was pretty grumpy in the Stanley Cup Finals for a really a nobody, you know?
All right.
Should we go away from the Cup Final? Or are you just done with him entirely?
No, if we're gonna do a transition from be careful on trading your first rounders like you just mentioned, would the Leafs and Marner be in that position?
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about the Marner thing, you know, and I've said it, it's going to be an unbelievably challenging deal for the Leafs. I mean, not only he holds all the cards, but what do you get? What do you get in return for a player that's a 100-point guy? And everybody's down on Marner. Yeah, he doesn't play at playoff time. He doesn't do this. But I've heard that about a lot of players. I heard that, as I've told you guys many times, I heard that about Stevie Eiserman for four years. You know, Stevie Eiserman was in his 14th year in the NHL when he won his first Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
32.
It takes time. It takes time to learn, you know, how to play this time of year, whether you're a superstar or not. So you need a great supporting cast. And Stevie Eiserman became one of the greatest captains in the history of the game because he got a great supporting cast with him. And nobody can tell me the Leafs have been good enough to win with the supporting cast they've had for the last number of years. And whether they can build one because of their payroll, I don't know, you know, but Kenny's been able to do it. Kenny's taken a lot of heat in Edmonton, a lot of heat.
Yeah.
And he's been able to build a supporting cast to get to the finals.
Yeah, it doesn't work until it does, right? That's sort of the idea.
You want to believe it.
What sort of changes do you think the Leafs will be making off the ice? Like, Berube is going to come in, and he's a new coach and going to have different demands on his staff and whatever. Do you think it'd be a matter of maybe shrinking the organization? Like, I think they got pretty big over the last 5 years or so in terms of total staff.
Well, sometimes you can get a little bit of information overload, you know, as I said in draft day, a lot of coaches take all those. I mean, I know you're a great analytics guy, but sometimes the coaches get overloaded with it and just use the garbage can for a lot of it, you know?
Yes.
So I think that it would be a good practice to maybe shrink the staff a little bit. Berube is a good coach. He's got to put a great staff together, but it's all about, for me, what are they going to do with their back end?
Yeah.
What are they going to do to fix their back end? And I don't mean bringing in number five guys. They've got to retool their blue line. Vancouver did it very well this year. You know, Atlanta and Rutherford did a nice job rebuilding. They've got to scrutinize the free agent list, and they've got to sell people on coming to Toronto, because if the blue line doesn't improve dramatically, their goaltending's got to be better. You know, it's tougher to find those defenseman guys than it is forwards. Yeah. It really is. No denying that.
Hey, any chance next week we could get Jill on the show?
Yeah.
We'll give you a break.
Jill stopped doing shows with me when we were in the RV. Remember, she came to the door when we were doing the show? And that was her one appearance. And it was actually, the ratings were the best, Jill said, when she tried to get in the screen door to, you know, to get on the air. But you guys pushed her away.
You shouldn't be scared of Maurice replacing you on Fridays off the rails. It's Jill.
Yeah, look, Paul, you know, it'd be nice. I mean, he's got 30 years in, as he said today. He'd like to win the cup. He's 30 years in the league. I just talked to Rick Bonus the other day. You know, Rick, obviously, he's retired. He retired. I didn't ask him if he retired or if he got fired. I suspect he retired. But I hope that Paul will have great media opportunities. There's no denying that, because he has been very good. He's been very good.
All right.
No doubt.
Just like you. Look what we did. I did for you.
I hope Knobloch's got to survive a few more years, because he will never be able to take my job. But Paul, I'm concerned about.
I think that's a fair assessment.
You're safe.
In terms of doing the matchup pros and cons, I don't think Knobloch's catching Maurice in that department.
And Knobloch can go on with Elliot and those guys, and he'd get along fine. But he wouldn't be able to take my place on this show. Not a chance. Not a chance.
Well, we're happy for that. Hey, thanks for doing this. Enjoy your game one of your Stanley Cup final, and hopefully we get another crack at you next Friday.
Good luck in the hyperbaric chamber with that thumb. I hope it gets better soon.
Take care of that thumb.
So when does this show end, when the playoffs end? Like, are you guys off and gone or what?
We'll let you know when it's time to publicly retire.
Yes.
tell Sammy I don't need him asking for pictures of my cottage anymore. I sent it to him and never even got a response back.
I know.
We talked about it on the show. I said it was beautiful.
Thanks, guys, for having me on. I really appreciate
it. Yes.
Thanks, yes. Mac. Appreciate
you
it.
You love the show when you're
Jim,
on.
I can help with dinner now, honey. I'm finished.
All right. Okay. Doug McLean, everybody.
Good luck to you.
Former NHL president, GM, head coach, the first head coach of Florida Panther history behind a Stanley Cup final.
It's funny seeing those pics of Doug coaching that team. He had those big glasses. Mm. He must be wearing, I guess he's.
Oh, they're like 65-inch television screens. That's what he was wearing on his head.
A couple of thick Coke bottle glasses there.
It never ends for Leaf fans. It just never ends, okay? So today at Media Day, there's all the questions that are being asked. And of course, someone, I don't know who it was, it's a good angle because it's got a good clip and everybody's talking about it. But Zach Hyman on leaving to sign in Edmonton as a free agent in July 2021. It's easy when it's not really your decision.
Yeah, at least told him to go kick rocks.
Yeah. Just
so is that now turning into a the majority of the media down there is from Toronto, so they're jumping all over that?
I just saw a tweet. Chris Johnson tweeted it out. Got lots of interaction.
Guys, I spent some time with the Marlies. There's Sam Carrick, Zach Hyman, Connor Brown, Calvin Pickard was there. Like, there's lots of Toronto reasons.
Toronto Oilers.
Yeah.
Jack Campbell's and wherever.
He's involved.
Yeah. It just drives me crazy.
Anyway.
I just can never escape.
Cody Ceci was here.
Can never escape it.
Verhaeghe, right, also drafted.
Quickly do game time.
Let's go.
Break. All right. It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So a couple things I was looking at here. When will the series finish?
Okay.
Game 4 is plus 550. Game 5 is plus 260. Game 6 is plus 200, and Game 7 is plus 200.
Wow.
So Bet365 thinks it's going to go the distance. I mean, this is as good a time as any to tell me your pick and when it's going to end.
So 6, you can get it for either team winning? You can just pick the game?
Pick the game.
6 at plus 250 is pretty good.
No, 200.
Plus 200 for Game 6 and Game 7, which are both still great numbers.
I still think I would do it. Game 6.
I've got 7, and I've got Edmonton winning tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night? That's pretty specific.
I just think it's a good time to just jump all over Florida.
Yeah. I think that all the previews for the series, once you see it start to play out, I feel like we'll get a better sense that someone has some advantage we haven't thought of or didn't see, or some matchup is lopsided. Maybe Skinner's no good. Maybe he's awesome. I think 6 games is reasonable. I am going to take Florida.
I think Doug made a good point earlier that
based on the goalies,
when it comes to Florida shutting down, and we know how good Barkov is. If you look at the first 3 series, there's been nothing close to a challenge like 97.
Yeah. So I said 6 from the gambling perspective. Mm-hmm. I do think 7 is just as likely. My reasoning on Florida is strictly the goaltending, that Skinner, he's going to have guys falling all over him. They make you move. You know, I think that's the one area that I could see playing out. But on the other hand, if Edmonton's power play is good, it's Connor McDavid. I'm not convinced of my own pick.
So you're Oilers 7? Is that what you're saying?
No, I got Florida to win this. My head says Florida's going to win this series.
In 7.
Yeah.
Borny?
Yeah, I think Florida in 7 is my pick.
Oh, crap.
You going to pick the oil?
No.
Yeah.
Florida in 5 for me.
Whoa.
Yeah. I think they're the best team by far. And I think it's...
There's not a lot of people that don't think that they are a deeper team that can play heavy.
Everyone I talk to says, my brain says Florida, my gut says Edmonton. Because everyone sees the McDavid-Draisaitl effect and what they are in playoffs and goes... Yeah. God,
Trust is that they'll get a lot of power play opportunities.
You don't trust that the refs will
position they deserve to be in. Historically, that you get to a game 6 or game 7, we'll be lucky if we see 3 power plays.
I think a lot of this pre-series narrative helps Edmonton, that the refs are aware that everyone is hyper fixated at, are you going to call penalties on Florida because we know what they plan to do.
To me, it's just... The 2 key matchups are going to be Barkov versus McDavid and Skinner versus Bobrovsky. Like, those are 2 very obvious ones.
Yeah.
But if Barkov can kind of contain
McDavid,
I love what Florida has underneath more than what Edmonton does.
For sure.
So to me, that's why I think it could be a bit of a mismatch. But I do want Edmonton to win.
Yeah.
But I think if I'm gambling, I'm going Cats.
Okay.
There you go.
And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll get to your texts. So send them. Text us at 590-590. And we've got the second half segment to discuss whatever you throw at us.
You betcha.
More when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sammy McKee. Just a reminder, as always, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Get to some texts.
Just before we do.
A little breathing room.
Just before we do. I was watching my favorite show the other day. New season of Shoresy is out. And the first two seasons were really good.
Yeah.
But the crew has truly outdone themselves. And this newest season is one of the funniest seasons of television I've ever seen.
Shout out to the casting crew of Shoresy.
It is an incredible show. I truly can't say enough good things about it. I think about
not
it all the time.
Not since Slapshot has there been such a great hockey.
I've breezed by it, but yeah. I have not watched it.
It's easy. Well, I mean, sports is about to be over, so we're going to have lots of time to consume TV and
all
stuff.
Right. I'm going to start.
It's a good summertime. Season one. It's quick. 20-minute episodes, 6 episodes. It's
beautiful.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So
love
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I can't get enough of it. Okay. How about this one? We got an American tweet from somebody that sent it in to me. This is from Barn Hockey Bar in Chicago. Sam, we love the show here in Chicago. Sounds like the Gensel to the Blackhawk talks is heating up. Is that true? I don't know if that's true or not, but he seems to think it is.
Okay.
Maybe it's heating up at the bar. How early are you guys in favor of putting the C on a player like Bedard? Obviously, it worked with Taves, Crosby, McDavid, etc. Any merit to waiting?
Great question.
I love this question.
Where are we going first? We're going to Bedard. Gensel to Chicago, or you want to go captaincy first?
The captaincy is the real question here.
Okay. You want to start?
No.
Okay. I'll start.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a snowball's chance that you throw a captaincy on him this early.
No.
No.
But to the point of the question, it has been done for McDavid and for Taves.
Yeah.
And they had success.
Okay, Connor's in his first Stanley Cup final. Where's the success other than looking good yourself?
Trophies. He's won them all. He hasn't underperformed, I think. It's fair to say.
But I don't find it that necessary in Chicago's instance. Mm-hmm. And I just look at a team now not ready to win. Not ready to win anytime soon. And that may tie into our Gensel conversation about him going to Chicago. But what is the rush on another season where he barely got by because of a broken jaw?
Yeah. I think it's a really good point that what is the advantage of giving it to him now? Like what? Ever knows he's going to be the face of the franchise. He's currently the face of the franchise. Do we need to pile on this level of leadership to his responsibilities? He's still learning to play in the defensive zone and to handle the media.
Felino, that extension there, right? Make him for the captain for a year or two.
Sure, it's like a transitional.
Let him kind of teach him the ropes. He goes down as one of the nicer guys in the league. Everyone loves him. Let him kind of teach him to be a captain, and then when they're ready to be good, you slap it on. I agree with Kip. Too early.
Under contract next year, it's like Foligno, Athanasio, Dickinson, Kurashev, Donato, Nazar, like, to your point, they may be better next year with a bunch of signings like Gensel, but it's not going to matter. They're not winning the cup.
Like Gensel as a signing for them, though. American guy, big market. He's a great player. Play with Bedard. I love Gensel.
Not from that side, yes. From Gensel's side?
No, he wants to win. He's not going to.
Why would you sign here? Well, why would you?
Money, lots of it.
Okay, so how much do they have to overspend here?
Probably a bit. You're right.
But don't you think there's lots of players who look at Bedard and look at, I'm sure they're drafting, what are they, second overall this year or something like that, probably?
Bedard cannot save this lineup in the next 2 to 3 years.
I look at all the first picks for years. Eichel couldn't save Buffalo right away, and McDavid couldn't save the Oilers right away. No different than Taylor Hall couldn't, or Nail Yakupov couldn't.
If Gensel signs in Chicago, it's because they've grossly overpaid, and that is not a good start.
I do think that people like to play with the best, like the Hall of Famers, you know, to tie their names to someone like that. But I agree with you. He doesn't need to do that here.
So, Guentzel, if you think that he wants to win now, we'll go somewhere that perhaps might be $1.5 million less than what Chicago's offering.
Right.
But at that point, what's the difference for you between $65 and $72 million?
And you'll make a lot more money over the course of your life winning another cup and going to all these events and speaking. And the thing with Guentzel for me, like, unbelievable player. He's not a dynamic player, right? He's not fast. He's not strong. So I do worry about how he ages. Someone's going to give him 7 years, and if he's a bit slower and the league gets a bit faster, and he's a great player.
Yes.
I worry about how he's going to age.
And I don't know where Carolina was on legitimately trying to re-sign him. I'm told that it never got much higher than 6.5, which I don't know what world they're living in.
6.5? Sorry. 6.5?
Seems on brand.
I was distracted.
6.5 times 7 or 8, right?
Why so even offer numbers, that to someone who because, you know is not signing for less than 9 or whatever he's going to get?
Really good question.
You know? Like, just to say, this is like the Hyman thing. Hyman saying, well, they made the decision. I didn't even get an offer. They didn't want to do that. They want to say, well, we made him an offer.
So this is where Hyman should probably talk to Guentzel and say, listen, you're making the choice for me.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Guentzel, to your point, I don't think Guentzel should get up to $9 million.
No.
I think if Carolina was smart, they would have probably come in 7-7, 7-8.
And had a chance at him.
Had a chance, at least give him something to really think about. Mm-hmm. And if for me, if someone's going to overpay Guentzel, it's above 8. Mm-hmm. To your point, too, like I look at a guy like Rantanen, who's eligible for a contract this summer.
RFA.
Yeah.
He's UFA after next year.
I don't think he needs a contract now. But to me, that's the guy that is going to be double digits. And
you're right.
He's 215, 225. Guentzel soaking wet's maybe $1.80.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I worry about that. Guentzel at $1.80, and I'm going to go spend $8.5 million on this guy?
Yeah. Rantanen is making $9.25 million and then UFA after this season. Only 27 years old, so he'll be 28 when he's up. 6'4", 215.
But
so,
this guy's the real deal.
He scored 50. Like
that's the guy that you legitimately think about. Okay, is it 11? Yeah. Is it 12?
He's got a big number coming.
From Jay in St. Thomas. Hey, fellas. What do you think a fair and realistic trade for my Habs to get Marty Necas would be? A lot of talk about him.
Well, I wrote, I did my notes yesterday in the Toronto Star, and I said, well, do you not remember the history of this?
The back and forth with Sebastian Aho, offer sheet, Paul Levecock in the Emmy.
They hate each other.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that.
Was
No, I'm sorry. Carolina hates Montreal probably a little bit more now.
So when Carolina, do you remember this? When Carolina offer-sheeted Kotkaniemi to get him, they made the signing bonus $20 to reference Sebastian Aho's number that Montreal had offer-sheeted. So it was like a direct.
So now what do you think the odds are?
But isn't it different management now?
I don't think it matters. It's Dundon, though. Dundon's still the owner.
Yeah, Dundon, but in Montreal, I think it's...
That Aho offer sheet was the worst
offer sheet I've ever seen.
Like, hey, here's an unbelievable value.
$8 million or something on a guy who was easily worth that at the time.
You have to grossly overpay to scare people off.
You do, and that was the idea. If you want him.
Not fair market value.
No, exactly, because then the team's like, okay.
You just negotiated for
us. Player for, yeah.
So you think no chance.
That was Mark Bergevin?
Yep.
So no chance?
I have it at slim to none and slim left town.
Okay. So, but you guys really like Necas, specifically you.
Buddy. I do.
I think he's fast. That's what I
you know, people that I've talked to, some have suggested that he can be lazy at times or that, you know, he can drive coaches nuts sometimes.
He's toolsy. And he's toolsy. He can do things.
He drove Roddy nuts at times.
Yeah. So, he's one of those guys I would rather have a guy that I can has the ability to do crazy things and I got to figure it out than someone who doesn't have the abilities. But yeah, he makes people mad.
Okay. We can't go through the full without a Marner question. This is from Pappy for Life, 3434. God, why do people do those?
Unbiased name.
Would you do a Marner for Keller deal, and what would that look like?
What's Keller's contract?
Well, first of all, like, if I'm Utah, and I know that...
Let's talk names after.
We have no real aspirations to win a Stanley Cup next year. Yeah. Why wouldn't I just try to wait to buy him at UFA and keep Keller?
Keller has an awesome contract.
Keller makes 7.1 for the next 4 years.
Why would I trade him now for a guy that I can get next year?
You just have to believe that he's not going to be available.
And I'd like Keller and Marner to play together.
Yeah. You just have to believe he's not going to be available, which...
So what you're saying is it wouldn't look like anything because it would never happen.
And this speaks to what Doug said. Like, everybody's talking about trading Marner. Well, what's it look like for the Leafs?
Mm-hmm. What's it look like for the Leafs? They're going to be happy to get anything back of value at all. I mean, are they not? It's, you know, you have to repay Marner the next team.
Did you sign a couple of defensemen? Did you get a decent goalie here? Okay, so keep Marner and rent them.
Okay. One more Marner question, quickly.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Hold on. This is from PK Brewban. We have recently heard unofficial rumors that Jake Guentzel and Marty Nejc is asking prices. What is Mitch Marner's asking price today, June 7th, 2024? And on another note, who wins in a golf match between you three today on June 7th, 2024?
It's pouring out.
JB, because
plays every day.
I'd stay dry in the clubhouse and he'd be soaking wet.
We actually are very, like, you know, our average rounds are close. Borney's got the highest upside. You know,
he's got upside. Yeah. He can go out there and shoot a 75.
He shot 76 yesterday.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, 76 would be one of the highlights of my golf career.
But I shot 84 the day before, so it's...
Yeah, it's up and down. Yeah. But do you think?
Me and you, we're kind of stuck at a 79 to 82.
Yeah, it's very... Yeah. I shot 87 yesterday, but it's usually 81, 82. So, anyways, what does Marner want? How much money?
Okay, first of all, we don't envision him taking a pay cut anywhere. Do you? 10.9?
Marner? Actually, you know, say that. You know how much that would do here if he did? If he did take a pay cut, the perception of him for a guy who cares so much about her perception?
You're a loser.
Who, me? I am a loser, but...
Mitch would be a loser.
Why?
That's the perception.
For him?
Because he's one of the top producing players in the league.
People don't
like
him,
Kipper. They don't take pay cuts.
Here's the thing, though. We just talked about Mikko Rantanen, and he's the size of him and whatever, and all his value, and you said he could get up towards 11. He could be a double-digit guy. You put Rantanen and Marner out there, who are teams picking? They're picking Rantanen. Yeah. And we talk about Marner like he's an auto 12.
But other teams still need other players who can produce.
For sure. For sure the value.
Right?
Yes.
Like there's 32 teams scrambling right now to find scoring.
Yeah.
Look at Dallas right now. They lost because they couldn't score because their veterans were too old, their young kids were too young, and they had no players in their prime.
Dallas is actually a very interesting landing spot for Marner.
And the Leafs have one, and you want to walk him to UFA and let him go.
Rantanen, Dallas could be looking at, you know, a Rantanen trade if Rantanen finds out that Colorado doesn't want to pay any more than MacKinnon.
Yeah.
MacKinnon's on old money.
He is on old money.
Rantanen has to hit the new money.
Tomorrow's Stanley Cup Final.
Mm.
Florida, Edmonton.
I got the Oilers winning game one.
You got game one to the Edmonton Oilers?
Yeah, I do.
Sammy?
Steal game one.
I think it goes Cats, Cats, Oilers, Cats, Cats.
Wow, he's got it dialed in, this guy. If that happens...
Too bad.
I mean,
sorry, Connor.
Impressive on your part.
That's how... I just... Say how I feel. It's not even like out of jealousy. It's not even out of this.
I like... Kip's call that on the road, get the chance, no pressure on them compared to Florida. Florida's supposed to win games.
All right, that's it for The Real Kipper and Bourne this week. Thanks for joining us. Still remaining loyal, even though we're now the fastest 1 hour in hockey.
It is fast.
Our thanks to Doug McLean today on Off the Rails. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. Love to hear from you. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your game one. We're back Monday to dissect.